It's a real pleasure at this time. Indeed, it's always a pleasure to bring on board Scotty Bowman, Senior Advisor, Hockey Operations for the Chicago Blackhawks and Hall of Fame coach. Scotty, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, good to be on.
It's a lot of money for a head coach.
Well, you know, it's been a long haul for the coaches, but you know, he's had a good 15 years, I think, coaching in the NHL, and you know, his record is there in front of everybody. So, I think when you look at the economy in the NHL, you know, I mean, I was fortunate to, I always felt I was fortunate to. I had to move around to increase my, you know, my contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to, and you know, it's always a tough decision. I mean, the money is a big factor, but there's a lot of other factors too. You know, I had to leave my home. I had to leave my hometown in Montreal. My parents were still living. I had a young family, but it was a big opportunity to go to Buffalo at the time. I had to leave a team that had won 4 Stanley Cups. There's tough decisions, you know, even though I was offered a much more lucrative contract to do more work. And you never look back. You know, you meet a lot of new people, and your friends from your other cities, still your close friends are still your friends, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, you left after the 4th Stanley Cup in 1979 in Montreal. You went to mm-hmm. Buffalo. For the start of the 79-80 season, you were the head coach and general manager. Our understanding right now is that Mike Babcock is the head coach, and it doesn't appear as if he's got any added responsibilities. But Scotty, as someone who went through that, what is Mike Babcock going to have to be cautious about?
You have to just coach the way you know how to coach, and you know, he's been a very demanding coach. He's had a very, very, I would say, a lot of success, you know, coaching players. You know, when you get to coaching, you're in international hockey, or you're getting all-stars. Virtually all the players that you coach are high-salaried all-stars. And, you know, Mike started with Anaheim, and he had a very... it's sort of like when I started with St. Louis. You know, we had a very, you know, I wouldn't say star-studded roster. It was a lot of good players, but you know, he went right to the finals before he went to Detroit. I think he took New Jersey to 7 games before he finally lost. So, and then he went to Detroit, and I was in Detroit. So I was in 9 years. He was there 10 years, mm-hmm. and. You know, you're with a strong organization. You're with an organization that's well structured. He knows what it takes. What it's going to take. It's going to take time, and I think that's the reason that he probably asked for. They must have wanted the length of time too. You know, and Toronto's a big market. I had talked with Toronto about 2007. I was sort of doing a little bit of work with Detroit. I finished coaching and. It was a bit of a challenge, but I don't know really what happened. I thought I had good meetings. I met the board at the time, the MLSC board, and I had another special meeting with Larry Tannenbaum. I was very impressed, but I think they were concerned that I had enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Was I going to have enough time on my schedule to do the job at the time? You know, they were looking for somebody to come in. They didn't have a lot of people working for them. Now, since Brendan Shanahan's come aboard, you know, they've had to expand all their departments. I don't know a lot about Mark Hunter. I just know that he ran a terrific team with his brother in London, and that's not an easy job in junior hockey because your star players graduate and you got to replace them. And it's like anything else. A coach needs players. I mean, to really rebuild a team, and I think they've put some people in place. And Mike's a guy that's used to working with an organization. So, but his main focus, like you mentioned, will be trying to get these players to mm-hmm. play the right way, and that's been his track record, you know.
in conversation with Scotty Bowman on the Jeff Blair Show. You were, as you said, you were with the Red Wings as their senior advisor when Mike Babcock was head coach with the organization. What's he like to deal with on a day-to-day basis? Because I've got to think, knowing you a little bit and knowing Mike a little bit, I would think you guys probably talked hockey a lot. How would you describe Mike Babcock as a person and as a coach?
Well, you know, he's a very strong person on fundamentals. You know, he's enthusiastic. I think on the motivating part, he's been excellent. And, you know, he's had a lot of experience at different levels, the X's and O's. And, you know, he's brought in some very good people to work with him. And that was what I had, too. I was fortunate when I went to Detroit. Dave Lewis was already in place, and I brought Barry Smith with me from Pittsburgh, and, you know, we had a good run together. Barry was a member. Well, actually, he was in Pittsburgh the same time I was there. I wasn't as a coach the first year because Bob Johnson, the late Bob Johnson, took our team out to the right to win the Stanley Cup the first year, and he had hired Barry on my recommendation. And so when I went to Detroit, I brought Barry along with me, and I inherited Dave Lewis, and we were there for about 9 years. But, you know, Mike's had some good people. You know, he brought in Paul McLean. He brought in Todd McClellan. Lately he's had Tony Granato and Jim Hiller. He even had Jeff Blasso, who's probably going to be the Red Wing coach.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how to work with an organization, and he worked with Ken Holland as the same as I did when I first went there. Ken was not the general manager, but after our cup win in 97, they were training him to be the manager. We didn't have a manager for a couple of years, and you know, he just knows the structure of the organization. It was terrific. You know, they retained Jim Nill, who was a key part of getting players, the scouting staff. It was a real organization, and I think that's what they need.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, too. I mean, even before he was with Detroit, when he was coaching Anaheim, he would call you up every now and then, wouldn't he, just to sound you out and just to bounce ideas off you?
Well, before he went to Anaheim, when he left junior, Mike was in Cincinnati, and mm-hmm. we had a bit of a working agreement. And it was Anaheim's farm team, and Detroit sent at least 3 or 4 players there. I know one for sure was Yuri Fisher. Another, I think, was Sean Avery. Guys like young players that weren't ready to play on our farm team or anything, so we sent them there. And, we would talk. That's when I first got to meet him, to talk about the players that Detroit had loaned to Cincinnati. And then, of course, he moved from Cincinnati into Anaheim. And I'm not sure from then on, Anaheim changed managers, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened, because I think Brian Murray was the general manager when, if I'm not mistaken, and he left. And would that be Brian Burke?
I'm not sure. Yes.
Detroit was looking to make a change in coaching after I had left, and I think Dave Lewis coached a couple of years, and Jim Nill would have known. Jim Nill would have worked with Mike on a daily basis when he was in Cincinnati, checking up on the players we had. So, yeah, we had a lot of conversations. And even when I went to Chicago after my son, Stan, got sick, I left Detroit. I didn't really want to leave them, but it made a lot of sense. Dale Talon offered me a consulting job to be close to Stan because he was going through, you know, a real tough ordeal with Hodgkin's. He had a repeat of it, and so I moved over. It was a tough call again, and then I still kept in touch with Mike, you know, and we still talked a lot, and I think Mike's legacy, even with Detroit this year, most current team that's playing terrific hockey,
mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay. I lived not far from Tampa, and I saw all 4 home games that Tampa and Detroit played. I mean, that was people don't realize in that series, I mean, his team, they just about won that series. They could have won game 7. They lost a tough game 4. They had a 2-0 lead. but he stifled I mean, that's a juggernaut. People maybe don't know Tampa as much as they should, but this is a very strong. I mean, he scored 12 goals on the Rangers in two games back to back. You know, last night again, and Mike stifled their attack. Which, I mean, he didn't have the horses as much as they did, but even Game Seven was a tough loss. They lost 2-0. One was an empty net, but they had the better chances in that game. So he devised a system. He's a very system-oriented coach that is always, I mean, his body of work with Anaheim and also his body of work with Detroit when, the passing of the torch with Yzerman. First, he got Yzerman at the late stages of his career, and then Nick Lidstrom. We all rode with Nick a long time, but the team is rebuilt with some young players, and that's what he's going to have to do in Toronto. But, you know, it takes a bit of time, and Brendan Shanahan would know Mike very well because he played in Detroit after I left, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, Scotty, that really kind of intrigued me about Mike Babcock as well is, and I look back to that Olympic team in Sochi, and, you know, they, and I made the point, there have been some great Canadian teams, but that team to me may have been the most dominant. Doesn't mean they scored the most goals. Doesn't mean they ran teams out of the rink all the time. But in terms of controlling play, controlling possession, dictating the pace of the game and everything, and people will say, well, okay, look, Mike Babcock, he was coaching the best players in the world. Anybody can do that. But I think we really saw something and learned something about Mike Babcock from Sochi, didn't we? Because he got everybody to buy in. I mean, when you're asking guys who are sort of used to being the top dog in their team to assume a third or fourth line role and maybe kill penalties and maybe do this, that takes a skill, doesn't it, Scotty?
And you don't have a lot of time to prepare, you know?
Right.
He's always prepared. They had different things in the going into the Olympics, but you don't have much time, and you know you have a good staff with you, and I think he had to pick the best people that he could. You know, in that time he had Ken Hitchcock, Lindy Ruff, Claude Julien on his staff, but you still have to make the calls yourself, you know, and you got a lot of people that you got to work with. Your managing staff, they had four or five general managers from different, you know, successful teams, so. Yeah, that's when you have to really put your head together. And, you know, I know when I went from St. Louis to Montreal with a lot of good young players and a lot of upcoming stars and some veterans, and it's a different concept when you get with those kind of players, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike has had a good way about him. His star players have always been able to take the lead role with the team, which you cannot win in any league, to me, unless your lead guys can really perform on a regular basis. And that's what the Olympics and those championship teams, you know, he had juniors, he had world championship teams, and, you know, his record is there to see what it is. But he's also had teams that weren't as talented as others. I've been fortunate. I've been on some of the. I started my career with that kind of a team, but, you know, and every time you go somewhere, it's tough. You have to move a little bit to get your message across. And also the fact that, you know, my salary escalated when I left them in Montreal. I had to do a little more than just coach, but, you know, every move, I never really got paid. I didn't care much about it until I was in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for two seasons as a coach, and I felt at the time the reason I went to Detroit is I just didn't think I was compensated for what I did in my body of work with Pittsburgh, and Mike Ellis gave me a very lucrative contract, and I ended up, you know, I look back and I was coaching players that were making 5, 6, and 7 times more than I was making. I never thought of that, but I'm sure with Mike's salary, there's not a lot of players that are going to be on a pedestal above him. And the Leafs are a very wealthy, you know, they're an organization that probably at the top of the heap as far as overall revenue is concerned, you know.
Scotty, were you personally surprised when you found out that Mike Babcock was going to Toronto?
No, I knew Detroit was not going to probably be the destination. He'd been there 10 years, and I heard some of the stories. I kept out of trying to bother Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know in those kind of decisions you have enough people to talk about, and I was thinking like, well, he's going to Buffalo. It's a big rebuild. I mean, there are some pieces there. You've got a good young kid in Eichel coming, and you know you got Evander Kane, but you got to have a lot of patience. And I heard Buffalo was really after him. I knew Toronto had been in the mix, but you know you don't hear much. Same as when Philadelphia signed their coach from college. Nobody sort of came out of the blue. I don't know if Toronto did, because there was always a rumor about that. But yeah, I was a little surprised after thinking what everybody else did too about he. I thought he was leaving Detroit. I never know if it was for sure, you know.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Scotty, it was great to talk to you. As I said, it's a big day. It's a big day for coaches. It's a big day for hockey in Toronto, and we really appreciate you joining us. And you've got a game, and the Blackhawks. All you guys do is win triple overtime games. What's up with that?
Yeah, they're going to be a tough series too. They kind of snuck one out the other night. It was a wild game, but the goaltending was superb in that game, and I'm sure it's going to continue. You know.